Hello and welcome back to another episode of Two Substitutes. It is December 4th, 2018, and we'll be reviewing some of the Premier League games. I'm joined by Akshay. Akshay, welcome back.
Hello, Varun.
Are you ready for the games that are coming thick and fast?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Enjoying
the games as well.
Yeah.
Especially what happened on the weekend.
Yeah. Something happened between some teams in North London. I would like to correct myself before we start. Last time, I think I said the match between Chelsea and Tottenham was the North London derby, which it wasn't.
Oh.
Because Chelsea is in south of London, I think. But please excuse me, I'm not from UK, so I might. But let's quickly review the games that finished today before we move on to the last weekend games.
Okay.
Manchester City continue to roll.
Yeah, it's hard to stop them. They're creating so many chances and they also look defensively solid. They don't give away too many chances either. So they're definitely doing better than what they did last season.
Yes.
I think they have conceded less number of goals this season compared to last. And I think they are scoring still the same number of goals as they do. And the squad depth has also increased this season. I think the signing of Mahrez,
yeah.
So he added to their squad. And who else did they sign this season? I think Mahrez was their only big signing.
Mahrez, yeah. And we can see how
Gundogan is back fit this season. Like
a new
last
signing.
Season, yeah, he was injured for most part of it. Although they have Kevin De Bruyne out for an injury, but
they're not missing
them.
Yeah. Including the game today against Watford did cause them problems for some time, or at least didn't concede goal for about 15-20 minutes, I think.
Oh, no, they think they scored at 40th minute.
Oh, 40th minute. So, yeah,
so
that's
it was
the
a long
longest.
Time West Ham held on to, like,
till
nil-nil scoreline. Or not West Ham, sorry.
Watford
held on to a nil-nil scoreline until Sané scored again at 40th minute.
And Manchester City were dominating the game. Watford were strong defensively. But after they scored the two goals, there was a slight lull in their play. And Guardiola, you could see on the sidelines, was also not happy with Manchester City. Mm-hmm. Because Watford dropped back and then Manchester City just kept passing to themselves without really making an effort to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
So Guardiola wasn't happy with that. And then, which resulted in the goal that Watford scored from a Deulofeu cross. It was a goal mouth shamble or something going on. Scramble,
and Doucouré managed
Doucouré
to put
scored
it in
the
at
goal.
The end.
Yeah.
And for Man City, though,
And then there was hope, actually, with Watford fans that they can come back, and they started playing more after that goal. And goal gave them confidence, but
I think Guardiola made defensive substitutions later on.
He got on Laporte.
You don't normally see him doing it. And he also had Kompany starting this game.
Yeah.
There was changes in the first team. Sterling was on the bench.
Yes. And Aguero wasn't even playing.
Yeah.
So whoever they bring on seems easily fits into their
I think players now this
team.
Season, players have bought into his philosophy and they know what manager expects from them and what kind of play he wants, and they just execute it on the pitch and everyone seems to be happy, even though not everyone plays every game.
Yeah.
I think Fernandinho and Ederson are the only two players who play every game pretty much. But other than that, everyone, I think they keep rotating.
And David Silva also seems to be a constant.
Whenever he's fit, he's in there. Yeah.
So he, along with Sterling, might be the best players in the Premier League this season, I think.
Yeah.
And I think Sterling and some players were rested for the Chelsea game that's coming next for Manchester City.
Yeah, they have a big game.
So now you don't even, cannot even say that they rested some of their big players, because all of their players are big players right now, whoever they bring on.
Yeah, even with rest, you have Gabriel Jesus coming on, Mahrez coming on in the first team, and Bernardo Silva.
Yeah. Jesus looks like he's struggling to score. He has not scored in a long time, I think. The last goal he scored was a penalty in in Champions League, I think.
Yeah, clearly, I think he has fallen down in the pecking order. I think the reason that he is playing is only because Aguero
was injured.
Is absent. And I've seen before Pep Guardiola had started him ahead of Aguero, but as soon as Aguero came back, I think from his last injury, he has kept his place in the team, and I think he trusts Aguero more than he is, I think.
And it was hard to see when Guardiola first came to Manchester City, it looked like Aguero might move on.
Yeah.
But Aguero is a class player, he established himself.
Yeah, I mean, Aguero never had a goal drought in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Like, whenever he played, the only reason or only concern with him is with injuries. As long as he's fit, I think he can get you goals. And especially in that Man City side where they're playing like free-flowing attacking football.
They could have scored more today also, but Jesus missed a few chances. And Mahrez was playing very well.
Sané and Mahrez, they both had the wing wide chances to chip the goalkeeper, but it was saved.
Yeah. One thing I was reading about this also, and few other people are saying, maybe they could suffer if Fernandinho gets injured, because he seems to be the main guy who contributes both defensively and also going forward, passes to the wide players to attack. So maybe they need that's why I was reading they were looking at Ndombele from Lyon. Who is performing?
I think that's an interesting point, because they don't have a like-for-like replacement for Fernandinho. Like for every other player, you can say that they have a reasonably well replacement if they get injured. Like we're seeing now with Kevin De Bruyne out. I think David Silva has like upped his playing level, and Bernardo Silva,
Mahrez, Sterling.
So they don't really miss De Bruyne as much. But yeah, if they lose Fernandinho for a long time, I think they will start to see some games affected by that. But you never know with Pep Guardiola. He might convert like Stones or whoever their center back is good with the ball into center midfield.
Yeah, I mean, apart from even maybe the Chelsea team under the first time under Mourinho was this good, but attacking wise, this Man City team is maybe the best team I've seen in the Premier League, at least.
Yeah, and I'm also surprised about their consistency. Like, they always seem to play the same kind of football. Like, opposition might know what they're doing, but they still find out ways to create chances, and it's just unbelievable to see.
And you could see there is a way to play them. Leon showed that they went undefeated in both their legs. So they actually beat Man City in the first round and then drew in the second leg.
That's also the only side who scored more than one goal against Man City
this season.
And then they did it twice as well.
So
I think like maybe opposition should look at Leon's style of play and try to copy it against Man City.
I would not have expected Leon to be this team, but they are playing really well this season. Last season, I think Napoli were the team who caused some problems and then Guardiola himself said that Napoli were the best team he has played against. This season, he's saying Leon are the best team he has played against. So, maybe teams can learn from Leon, but I know I should not say this, but Man City just look too far ahead.
They're in a different league than all the other teams, and they don't even have drop off sometimes. Like they may have it in game, but throughout the game they never see their levels drop.
Yeah, it could be a few minutes, like 15-20 minutes in a game. Like today they had after they scored the two goals. But that's Man City. Any other games from today? Bournemouth continue their good form. Eddie Howe is the next... Maybe he's the next best manager out of the top six. Eddie Howe, it's between Eddie Howe and Marco Silva, I'm guessing, but I would give slight edge to Eddie Howe.
Yeah, because they did not spend too much. Yeah. Like Bournemouth, they all have good young English players, and he is actually
getting the best out of...
rather than like Everton. As you know, like Marco Silva has done a good job at Everton, but they've also spent and bought quality players already
who
are like proven Premier League talent, like Sigurdsson, Richarlison even. Like
he made Richarlison a better player, Watford, though, I would say, since Watford, when he was at Watford also. But same reason, give an edge slightly to Eddie Howe.
Yeah, because in Bournemouth side, like, there's no star. Like,
yeah.
Wilson may be their best star, but he's also like, he's not the...
And this season, he has improved. Wilson, Ryan Fraser is playing well. Josh King contributes. Nathan Ake, he has improved in defense. So, Maybe if they get a better goalkeeper than Asmi Begovic, who is good, but they can upgrade him. He could,
And I think their transition is also very quick and fast counter-attacking football. Yeah. That I think like they have a lot of pace in their squad, and it's like they play good football. Like they can score beautiful
good
goals.
Good to watch.
And,
yeah,
that's why I like them.
So
they are sixth in the league with 23 points now.
23 points.
Definitely
yeah.
doing really really well this
season. It's it will be between Bournemouth and Everton, and then Manchester United are close to the. The other result is West Ham are continuing their good run of results. I think it's the first, I was reading first time in some time that they won two consecutive games.
Yeah, they've certainly changed their results in a big way after Pellegrini was signed, and he is getting results and they're getting wins now against the teams that they should be beating.
Right.
Usually, like, they are like a decent mid-table team.
Yeah.
But before, like, the start of this season, they were struggling to be out of the relegation zone, but now I think they are 12th in the league, and they are putting some results together, and that's good to see.
And before this game, Cardiff were in sort of a good form, but West Ham didn't last long, and West Ham won.
Yeah, and for West Ham though, they're like their strikers are.
Oh, that's another thing.
Like they have so many strikers now.
But I was not expecting Perez to, but he's also playing against Cardiff.
Yeah,
I would like to see him against big teams now that Arnautovic is injured.
Yeah.
He'd be a big miss for them, I think.
True.
So,
yeah, but Chicharito has contributed with some goals this season, and we have Lucas Perez who scored two goals today. So maybe like they may not miss him as much, but still he's a big miss, Arnautovic.
Mm.
We'll see.
See any other games, big games for reward for?
Brighton is playing well.
Oh yeah, Crystal Palace. That was surprising also. Even
they
after
beat Crystal Palace 3-1.
Yeah, and going down a man and still managing to.
Yeah, they went down to 10 men early on in the game, and when they were leading 1-0 at that point, you think Crystal Palace can expose them with Zaha, Townsend. I'm not sure. Like
the penalty was the wrong decision though.
Yeah, it was unlucky.
Brighton got against Crystal Palace, and maybe that changed the mentality of Crystal Palace.
He was playing both of them as strikers, Zaha and Townsend, with 4-4-2 formation. But yeah, you would expect them to score more against a 10-man team with the pace they have on the counter. But I mean, I didn't see the full game, but it's looking really good for Brighton. They were struggling to score goals, but now this Andoni, the Romanian guy, is scoring goals. One of his goals was really good when he.
Yeah, I know, but it's also the bad defending from Tompkins.
Yeah,
he
that's
just
true.
Was the hoof ball over the top, and Tom, I don't know what he was doing. he had the ball and then he lost it.
Right.
And then Andoni took advantage, scored a good goal. Best quality was that he didn't give up on the ball, just kept fighting for it. Was a FIFA goal, like you said, scramble.
Yeah, when you when a defender makes a tackle, gets the ball back, but somehow it falls to the attacker again.
Oh, talking of scrambles, Cardiff also scored a scrambling goal.
Yeah.
Josh Murphy. So those were the results today.
It's no clean sheets today.
No clean sheets.
Another point.
Let's move on to the weekend games then. Start with the North London Derby, the actual North London Derby between Arsenal and Tottenham. Arsenal scored the early goal.
Yeah, we got the penalty through Vertonghen. He handled the ball.
And inexplicably, I don't know what he
penalty.
Was doing.
Yeah.
I think this can happen to any footballer. Sometimes you just don't know why they do that.
I don't know what they think, but right now in these days, like, it's really hard to get away with those kind of things.
Yeah.
And that was, it awarded a penalty, rightfully so, and Aubameyang scored, who is in a good touch.
He's the leading goal scorer.
Top goal scorer now in the league with 10 goals. And it looked like we controlled the game. Like, we had few chances even before we scored, so we were playing well right from the start, which is
it was
not
a high tempo into
seen.
The game. Yeah,
yeah, because usually like we are like slow starters, we get well in the second half of the game, but this time like we started really really well, but something happened and they got a free kick, and I think it was a goalkeeping mistake by Leno that allowed allowed Spurs to level the things up.
He could have saved it easily. There was a mistake there.
Yeah, it was a goalkeeping mistake. I think he did well as a goalkeeper throughout the game, but that one mistake could have caused us a lot.
Problems, yeah. And Spurs and did come, they did play well after going down.
Yeah, that 10-minute spell where Spurs, like, they got the penalty as well with Son. I think it was a soft penalty.
Yeah, I don't, I would not say it was a penalty.
And they got the penalty, and Harry Kane, as he usually does, he scored against Arsenal again from this penalty spot this time. And
so, and 2-1. And with that, Arsenal continued the record of not leading at halftime.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting stat that if the result of first half, if it had stayed the same, we would be 19th in the league.
Yeah.
So that's very, very shocking. But at the same time, you feel that.
But we football know, like, is also made of two halves. So
yeah. So in the second half, So if you take a look at the second half score only, we are second only to Manchester City. So that's good. And yeah, we were again trailing after the first half. And at that point, I thought, like, maybe this is Spurs and they may be able to hold on to the result. And they did start second half very well as well. But we have manager in Unai Emery now who is very proactive. So he made the substitution at half-time.
Got on Lacazette
and Ramsey. Who both contributed to goals, and both were really good substitutions. I'm not sure, like, what's about him, but I think he's very good at reacting to the situation where after, like, in the second half, we have always scored more goals. I think, like, we always score at least one goal or sometimes even more. And he also is not afraid of making substitutions. He replaced Lacazette and Ramsey with Iwobi and Mkhitaryan, who both were, like, they did not have a bad game at all. It's not like they were playing bad. And at the end of the game, he explained his substitutions, saying that it's not that they were playing bad, but it's more like I wanted something different.
Right.
And from different players, so I brought them on and resulted in goals. So he is doing really well in that part. I'm really happy with it.
Yeah, in terms of form, now I would put, actually, maybe I'll reverse the table a little bit in terms of the play that I am seeing. Arsenal look a little bit more improved than Chelsea. So I would put third Arsenal, fourth Chelsea, in my opinion, because they have improved more since the time both of us played each other. That game was a mess for both teams. Defensive mistakes all around. And I think for us, Hazard's form has dropped and it's showing. He was the if he was playing well, then it just lifts Chelsea a lot.
Yeah, I think if you compare Arsenal and Chelsea, I think you guys are riding a lot on a single individual player, whereas for Arsenal, it's more of a team effort. And you can see everyone contributing with goals and playing for the team. I think Lucas Torreira also had a very good game and he scored the fourth goal.
Yeah,
it was his first Premier League goal for Arsenal and it was a very good time to do that. And his celebration also, I liked it. So overall, it was a very high energy and high tempo game with
good
a lot
game
of
to
ups
watch.
And down. Yeah, it was very good for the neutral. It had a red card, some players fighting against each other.
So who got the red card?
Vertonghen got
Vertonghen
a red card
later on.
And so it had all the drama that Premier League offers. And I was very glad to see us winning that game. And we continue our run of unbeaten games to 19th now. Mm. And we're playing Manchester United tomorrow. Hopefully, we continue our run. And yeah, it was a very good game, and against Spurs as well. So that actually, I think you can say that we have turned the corner, because before this game, even though we had like 15 games unbeaten run, everyone was not noticing us as much because they were saying like, oh, you haven't played a big guys or no big teams as yet. But after the result against Liverpool and result against Spurs, I think like people are noticing us more. So that's good. But I would also like to not have too much attention, because our goal is to stay in the top four now, because we are on fourth now. So we just want to stay there.
That's our goal also. There will be a big fight for, this will be a blip in Tottenham. I expect them to come back to form again, because there's a point to be made that they did play three big games. And all of them were really important for them. The game against Chelsea and then the Champions League game. Because they have to win all of the Champions League game now to have a hope of qualifying to the next round.
Correct.
So that could be a factor. I expect Spurs to come back again. They have shown that they are not... they are a good team time and time again. Pochettino is a good manager as well, so it will be interesting to see the fight for the fourth place.
Yeah, another interesting thing for Spurs was they did not start Alderweireld this game, for who is a young center back. I think that also makes Vertonghen to make more mistakes, because he's not as experienced as a center back, and if he makes mistake then
Foyth made mistakes against Chelsea also, we could have taken advantage of it, but we didn't, like Arsenal did in this game, because Foyth did make some mistakes in against you guys also.
Yeah, I think he was the one who was robbed of the ball by Ramsey in third goal, where the Lacazette scored from his left. So yeah, I mean, he made mistake and that resulted in a goal, and maybe like an experienced center back would not be making that mistake.
Yeah. Arsenal now climb. Tottenham are in fifth place now. It's a very close race ball.
And yeah, we are
just 1 point behind Chelsea.
Yeah, and just 1 point behind Chelsea. So it'll be a good race to watch for fourth. I think it's like between Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs. You need to pick two.
No, I would still say, so I would put Man City up a level above everything, and then Liverpool just sitting in second, a level above all the other teams. And then the fight for third and fourth will be between Arsenal, Spurs, and...
Yeah, I think for the first place, it will be between Arsenal or Spurs at this point. That's what I think.
For the first place?
No, for the fourth place.
No, I would say, I would put Chelsea also in there. If Hazard comes back to form, then I think we will secure third place. Hazard, we are too reliant on him right now. He's still in the attacking front. We need him to... Mm-hmm. Especially with our strikers not contributing that much.
Yeah.
Because the good thing about Arsenal is that both of your strikers are playing well. So
yeah, I think both of them are
finishing their chances.
Premier League top goal scorers, right? Yeah. Second, five top scoring.
Yes.
Players, and Aubameyang, I like him through the center. He's a strange player. I think like he is not good with the ball, but he still contributes a lot with his tackle and just running. Just off the pace, like he has a lot of pace. And he finishes as well. Like he is very instinctive finisher. Yeah. I think his finish was a first touch.
Oh, yeah.
In that situation to level 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
I think like that's the quality you get from like a top quality striker. Yeah. Where like a chance like that, it would be like if he misses, like no one would blame him because it's a difficult chance to take.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he finished it off, and he had the best game for Arsenal as far as I've seen him play. Mm. Like had a very good all-rounded performance, got an assist as well.
Yeah, yeah, got to score two goals and an assist. I didn't have him in my fantasy team, so. Another derby, another London derby was Chelsea and Fulham. It was a straightforward victory, but also not. We didn't play very well, but it was good to see us come back after the loss against Spurs. We needed this to have some confidence for the Man City game next. Fulham also tried the same tactic as Spurs did of trying to man-mark Jorginho. Mm-hmm. But Jorginho found more space in this game. Maybe Fulham didn't have the quality that Tottenham had to shadow Jorginho all over the pitch. Mm-hmm. So Jorginho managed to find spaces and the passes. Good goals were scored. So Pedro, who has been in good form whenever he plays for Chelsea this season,
why he doesn't play regularly.
He was injured also. So. But yeah, I think out of Pedro and Willian, Pedro gives us more... when going forward, they can also use both of his feet to score goals. But Willian, it's almost always him cutting inside.
And
Willian's crossing is also not as good. Even though he runs around a lot, but his crossing is not as good as other players. And then Ruben Loftus-Cheek came on because Ross Barkley was injured and he took his chance. So I'm hoping he gets more chances now. He offers more up front. Barkley is good when he's playing with other midfielders, but he's a similar player to Kovacic and his goal scoring isn't, when he's going forward, maybe he doesn't offer that much of a threat. And Loftus-Cheek has that energy in him. He is a big player, so he can hold off defenders and opposition players. And he did score a goal, so it was good to see him do that. Hopefully, he'll get more chances.
What do you think about Kante in an advanced role? Because I saw him play against Fulham. And he created well. The first,
yeah,
first
yeah, he
goal
robbed
like
City
all
off.
On his own. So it's really good to have a player like him in an attacking position as well, because he can contribute in some other ways that a regular cam
which is what Sarri wants from him. I was also not I was hesitant in his in this role that Sarri gave him. Mm-hmm. But if I remember, I think when he was first playing for Leicester, Ranieri had Kante playing in little forward position as well, because if you can win the ball in the opposition half, it's so much better than winning in the defensive half.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first goal by Chelsea is like an example of that, right?
Yeah.
Like where he wins the ball off the midfielder and he just runs
and
finds a good pass.
There's no time to recover for the opposition, and Kante is very good at tackling and interception. So, and he's also a very fast learner, I have seen. Mm-hmm. No matter what the circumstances are, he can, even if he makes a mistake, he's quickly able to learn and read the situation.
Mm-hmm.
He's such a humble player also. It doesn't... So, I think the criticism that he got from Sarri, he took it positively and is trying to improve his game.
Mm-hmm.
It will be beneficial for us in the long run. So, it was good to see him do that. Next game is against Wolves tomorrow. So, Wolves are also not in a rich vein of form. So, hopefully we can get a result there. Have some positivity.
Yeah, I think like the main game to City focus game. For me, at least, is Chelsea-Man City.
Arsenal-Man U.
And Arsenal-Man U, yeah. That's tomorrow and one on the weekend.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Like, that game will also give us a good indication on where the teams lie.
Yeah.
Actually, in terms of their performance level, like
we'll see how far Man City are. Tomorrow, not tomorrow, the weekend.
Yeah, because it's been a while that Man City played against a really good team in the Premier League as well. I think the last game they had was against Liverpool. There was a 0-0.
It was a draw. Yeah,
yeah.
Wasn't so expecting a draw in that game. Okay, and then the other game, another derby was the Merseyside derby between Liverpool and Everton, and Klopp forgot that the game wasn't over. And he ran onto the pitch.
Yeah, and he's getting fined now. But
I think it's a valid fine.
Yeah.
I also like that he did that, but also you are not supposed to do that. So I understand the fine as well. The game is not over and you're running onto the pitch.
Right.
It's like any... You have a... It's like a streaker coming into the pitch.
Yeah.
So I like his enthusiasm, but fine was deserved, I think.
Yeah.
And he apologized for it as well. But yeah, the goal that I thought Everton played really well. We were talking about Marco Silva. He has been doing a good job with Everton, and he almost got a result against Liverpool, which would have been a good one. But the goal they scored was very weird.
Yeah, it was very heartbreaking for Everton to concede right at the end after doing all the hard work, and they did have some chances in the game, although Liverpool had better chances to score. But
I thought
Everton
draw was the fair, would have been a fair result though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say so as well. Just because how late they conceded the goal, if this had happened earlier in the game, then I wouldn't say so.
Yeah.
But just when you do all of that hard work and to lose the game because of that mistake, it's not even a mistake, but it's more like an unfortunate scenario where Van Dijk had just like hooped the ball up.
Yeah.
And hoping that someone would get in. But
he didn't even try to hoop it up. It just happened that because he was trying for a volley.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he was trying. Yeah. Like, but it ended up just looping. And Pickford, he tried to chip it over the ball or like
the
bar.
Yeah, ball was going out. But then he...
Yeah, he absolutely made sure that he gets it away. But somehow it dropped on the post again. And Origi was lurking and he just scored from a
Origi coming back from injury.
Even before Pickford could react.
Yeah.
And that was a costly mistake by...
And Van Dijk got an assist for that, which I don't know how that works. But anyways...
Because Everton also had some good chances to score as well. And
So, Liverpool are getting the point the victories and draws, points wherever needed, but they have not looked as good as City have. But that's yeah, the point that they're keeping pace with them.
So yeah, they're keeping pace, although they don't dominate the game as Man City do, but at the end it's a result business as well, and they're getting those results. And I will see, like, who are they playing next? Liverpool?
Let me see. And yeah, so they were 2 points. They are now 5 points behind Man City, but have a game to play tomorrow. But Liverpool are playing Burnley. You would expect Liverpool to get a result there. So
yeah. Although they do have some injury concerns, is it?
Yeah, Mane looks
and
like
Robertson as well.
Robertson. And Salah also is not.
He's not looking at his best.
As good as last
season so
far.
So but at the same time, like, he sets the bar really
so
high. Last season he was phenomenal for them, and right now he's not scoring at the same rate. Although, like, the number of goals is still comparable to what he had last season.
Right.
But this is the time he peaked last season, I think. Like, this is when he started doing all these wonders.
So, in other games, Man City beat Bournemouth. Bournemouth took the lead in that game through Callum Wilson. No,
did not take the
lead.
They
equalized through Callum Wilson. Yeah. But then Man City just went up another gear in the second half.
Yeah, Sterling was really good in that game.
Sterling, one of the best players in the Premier League this season.
Yeah, he's not afraid of doing anything this season.
Yeah.
It seems like his shooting has improved. His dribbling was always good. But now, like, after his dribbles, he's not afraid of shooting or passing. And his decision-making and overall play just feels much better.
Yeah.
And that's what we were saying before when he was missing his chances. Like, he would always get into position, but it's just like he would not get that, make that final pass or did not get it on target when he shoots. But now I think he has corrected all of those things and looks like a world beater now.
Leicester City got the win against Watford. This was more sentimental also because of what happened in the, around the stadium.
Yeah.
Even Watford was celebrating Leicester's owner. And then Leicester reciprocated by giving everyone free...
Yeah, that was a very good
drinks or
by
something?
Leicester City.
Yeah,
they gave them free food and drinks.
Yeah. So you can say ultimately like football is still... Football has that...
Yeah, there's still like some clubs...
Humanity.
They still have
class.
They operate in a different ways that you would not normally think about.
Yeah. So, James Maddison scored a really good goal in this game. West Ham are continuing their result.
Yeah, Watford has dropped off a lot this season.
Yeah, they started off really well.
Games.
They were in the top four in the start, right?
Yeah. Now they are 11th in the league and things are not working for them. And
you know where things are not working for Jose as well? I know you are really sad about that, but Southampton took a 2-goal lead. Another great goal. Another good goal from Stuart Armstrong.
Yeah.
He likes to score the long shots.
Yeah, I think he has a good finish in him. Like,
He's
a youngster and he's getting his chances now because Southampton don't have a good striker. Their strikers can't seem to score, but he, since he came on, I think they're getting a goal at least. So it's good to see.
They did also, and apparently the draw against Man U was not the result that Southampton wanted because they sacked Mark Hughes after this season.
I mean,
the first casualty of this season. I think Mark Hughes was one of the people in my list to get the sacking.
I mean, that's what he does, right? Like, he gets sacked always.
Yeah. I was surprised even when Southampton signed him because Southampton don't look like the club for Mark Hughes. And Mark Hughes don't look like the signing that Southampton usually go for.
Correct.
They like to get managers, unknown managers who bring up
want to prove
academy.
A point, right? Like Mark Hughes is like you already know what you're going to get from him and the style of play. Like Southampton, they usually go in the unknown territory, but this time it wasn't the case. And
I don't know the name, but you talk about the Southampton Man U game. I'll just look up.
Yeah, I mean, I was really happy to see Southampton leading the game 2-0, and I was like, okay, Man United, they have so many defensive issues. There was only one centre back,
yeah.
Even though they were playing three centre backs, he started, I think, McTominay, and there was one more midfielder as a centre back, I think Nemanja Matic.
Yeah.
So he played them at a centre back position. And just like decisions that Mourinho is making, they don't make sense. Like before, you could know, like, okay, this is what Mourinho does. And but this season, it's not even that. Like, I'm not sure what he is trying to do.
Right.
And Lukaku,
it looks like he wants to show the board, as he has done in previous teams as well, like what he's missing.
Yeah, I think like he likes to take on people or like the board, yeah, or something, and he tries to prove a point. And yeah, when they were down 2-0, they got back in the game.
They have done that a few times this season also. They seem to get back.
But I think like most of the times it's more because of the individual quality that they have in the players,
mm-hmm,
than like a team performance. I think like even against Southampton, I think like both goals were created by Rashford and his own individual run. Like,
yeah,
he went to the byline and then
almost
it back
as if like they had nothing to lose, so they decided to play. And
yeah,
Pogba was not good in that game for a player of his quality. You can see the difference that he makes when he's playing really good and then when he's playing so bad. He has that in him. It almost looks like he is doing this intentionally. But I know that's not the case. These are professional players. But it looks like that. Like, if he has that much quality in him, how can you drop so...
Yeah, I think it's also up to the managers. I mean, there are rumors about Mourinho calling Pogba as virus. Like Pogba, he told him that your tactics don't work, and because of you, like, yeah, players don't have much freedom, and I don't like that. Or if you give them freedom, they'll play better, or something along those lines. The conversation was, and then he called him as a virus or something because he doesn't follow instructions and whatnot. But I think if he manages well, as we have seen, right, like Man United squad is definitely better than Bournemouth, for example, who are above
them in
the table.
They should be fighting for top four with their squad.
Yeah, even though, like, no matter how many complaints that he makes about not having a centre back, not having these mad dogs in the midfield and whatnot, but he still has a squad that is capable of challenging for the top four.
Yeah.
And that's not happening. So
Spurs
instead
are playing
of,
with Foyth, who
Spurs
made
did not
so many
make a
mistakes
signing
and
at
still,
all this season.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think like he should.
And Arsenal and Chelsea, it's not like they have great centre backs as well. We are conceding goals, but at least.
Correct. Like, I think in terms of squad quality, Manchester United are still up there, even though he thinks that there are no centre backs and he doesn't have the players that he needs.
Yeah.
They still have a squad capable enough, but it's just like he was never a coach who could teach other players to, like, teach the football to them, like Pep Guardiola is doing at Man City. And that is
now. Yeah, I mean,
now
there are a few exceptions, though. I mean, I think he does that when the team is not, when a team is like an underdog, he can do that, because at Inter Milan, no one.
Yeah.
The team was made up of lesser quality than what he has now. And even when he first came to Chelsea, he got the best out of Lampard, Drogba. So, and at Porto, when he won the Champions League, no one expected them to win. So he can do that, but
I think like the way he was doing it maybe doesn't work in these days now. Like
nowadays, yeah.
Try to like go against players publicly sometimes to, like, right now, in nowadays, it doesn't work at all.
He didn't used to do that also. He was always supported his players when he was with Chelsea. So I don't know. Even players have changed a little bit. Like, you cannot... Maybe players need more love also now.
I think like he had players before who would like...
just
go at a wall like for him. Like, you know, like go through the walls for him.
Yeah.
You don't see that quality anymore. And also... they need more love, or nowadays for players, I think they want to feel important. And like, they don't like to be dropped or to be criticized publicly, that he does usually.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if he picks Paul Pogba
for
against
your game.
Arsenal tomorrow.
That's tomorrow,
but I think
right?
He will.
He has to.
But from what I've heard, he should not be picking him, right? Like,
because he likes to. Yeah. It's possible is that he won't pick, and he might just totally go all defensive.
Yeah.
But in times like this, he manages to win against big teams also, and then that keeps.
Yeah,
him
it's
his
usually
job.
Like that's what is happening this season, right? Like,
yeah.
He will have 4 or 5 games where they don't get a good result, and then he'll have one big win or kind of unexpected win that they have against Liverpool, Juventus, for example.
Yeah.
And then that'll get him going for next 4 or 5 games, and we'll see.
Yeah, talking about Southampton, though, yeah, they are almost done. They are almost finalizing their appointment of Ralf Hasenhüttl. Sorry if I butchered that name, but he was the ex-Leipzig manager.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of a Southampton.
Yeah. And Red Bull Leipzig have been promoting young players also.
Nice.
Maybe so he'll be on the stands for the Tottenham game.
Nice.
Tomorrow. So let's see how he does. I'm excited to see him. Okay, so those were the Premier League games. Other results. Paris Saint-Germain, they drew against Bordeaux, their first that draw of the season, I think. Otherwise, they had 100% record, if I'm right. Let me confirm. Yeah, 100% domestic record. And also, Neymar got injured in this game. So, they have a big game in the Champions League also. So let's see if he can come back for that. Dortmund continue to win games. They look unstoppable in Bundesliga. And it's good to see. They are playing so many young players also. Alcacer is scoring goals.
Yeah, it's surprising that Bayern Munich is fourth in the table now.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that. Yeah, that's
9 points behind Dortmund.
It's usually the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bayern Munich need to sign some young players now. I think both their white players are now getting old.
Yeah, it's kind of same problem that Man City had.
Yeah.
Where Robin, Ribery.
Yeah.
They're like, although Robin
said that he might be leaving
his retirement. Or not retirement, but
he'll be leaving.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm expecting Ribery also to leave or have a second role next season. And they were after Callum Hudson-Odoi. So I'll be annoyed at Chelsea if he sell Odoi to Bayern Munich. Please. What else? Oh, yeah. Credit to Premier League, I think FA and rugby. They had the Rainbow Laces campaign for this weekend for the LGBT people.
All the captains wearing that.
Yeah, the rainbow. Yeah. So that's good to see in football. You can affect. Good to see football being used in this way. So. Oh, I just read today that the Copa Libertadores final will be held in Santiago Bernabeu, right? And Messi and Ronaldo are invited.
Cool.
Be nice to. I think Messi has said yes, and Ronaldo has yet to say yes. It would be nice if both of them said together.
Yeah.
I know some people were not happy that said it's disgraceful to have it in Madrid, but they don't have a choice, right?
If they have so many issues there, then they have to get it done somewhere.
Yeah. And Bernabeu is a historical stadium, so that will give more eyes to this game. So I am all for this.
Also, Ballon d'Or happened today.
Yeah, and I've given up on it. I'm not that interested in Ballon d'Or also. Since even its opinions.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing there is like they introduced a new award, the Young Player Award.
Was that not last year?
No, I think this is where all the former Ballon d'Or vote for them.
Oh, like the Mbappe one.
Mbappe vote, yeah. So all previous Ballon d'Or winners, they had the same pick.
Everyone had
Mbappe.
Everyone had Mbappe. It's easy to pick him.
It's easy to pick him, but still, like if you see Ballon d'Or voting, it's so random. Like you know, some people are giving like Courtois, some people giving to Sergio Aguero. It's very biased, I think. Like people every time, like if you are Argentine, you would give it to Aguero. If you have like countrymen, then you normally go for them rather than like picking the best choice. But in this scenario,
it was
they all voted for Mbappe.
Who else can you think off when you talk about young player who has this. He could have been in the Ballon d'Or nominations as well. Neither Messi nor Ronaldo showed up for this.
Yeah, and it's also first time Messi is not in the top
three. Yeah, he was fifth.
So he was fifth.
Very surprising. The one thing I wanted to point out was that this DJ who was presenting Ballon d'Or, he asked the Women's Player of the Year to twerk. Like, he asked if she knows how to twerk. It was so disrespectful.
Really sad.
He later apologized, but what the hell, man? Seriously.
Yeah, that's not the right stage to do it.
You see how people, what kind of people still exist. It's so hard to... Yeah, I acknowledge this. But any other news that you...
No, I think we covered well this time.
UEFA is probing Man City and PSG for the FFP breaches, financial fair play.
Mm-hmm.
Guardiola said he is looking forward for that. Let's see. Any transfer rumors? The one main rumor I read was Christian Pulisic eyed by Chelsea, but he wants to go to Liverpool to play under Klopp again.
Okay.
I don't know if
Klopp
wants to sign him though, because they have a few wide players.
True, yeah. They signed Shaqiri, but he's playing at CAM now.
Yeah.
And they also have Salah, who is a kind of like set in stone in that position.
Yeah. So I don't know if, we'll see. Dortmund are asking £70 million, but he also only has 18 months left in his contract.
Mm-hmm.
So 18 months or 12 months, I think. So that amount might come down later on. Think that was all.
Yep.
Right. Thanks for listening, guys. And thanks for joining, Akshay. And don't forget to do what? Yes. That's all, guys. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.